This broadcast is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello again. This is Bill Davis for the Georgia Radio Reading Service, continuing with What Unites Us by
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 48 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is made available to the IAAIS Program Share and was recorded at the Audio Reading Service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Entertainment Weekly, the January 2021 issue, and I'm your reader, Elizabeth Smith, with the Audio Reading Service at the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're going to continue with the Entertainers of the Year Award for 2020, and this one will be Kerry Washington, written by Samantha Heifel. From her work in Little Fires Everywhere and The Prom to hitting the campaign trail, Kerry Washington maximized her impact. Kerry Washington already has the perfect plan for 2021. I'm really excited about taking a nap, reflecting on her incredibly busy year, both in front of and behind the camera. One thing her 2020 resume makes clear is that she hadn't had time for some good shut-eye in a while. Last November, after finishing up her kids' schooling for the day, Washington hops on yet another Zoom chat to talk about being an Entertainer of the Year. She's still wrapping her head around the title. "I thought it was a mistake," says the 43-year-old New York native. "If you told me I was homeschool teacher of the spring, I'd be like, yeah, I worked hard on the curriculum." But despite the pandemic, Washington had one of the biggest years of her career. Call her Homeschool Mom of the Year, Entertainer of the Year, or, as she jokes, Entertainer of the Apocalypse. But there's no denying all that she accomplished, even if some of it was from behind a computer. What isn't nowadays? The actor. Washington started the year playing Mia, the outsider to the insular Shaker Heights world in Hulu's captivating adaptation of the Celeste Nigg novel Little Fires Everywhere. Her work earned her an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Limited Series. And she'll finish out 2020 as Mrs. Green, the woman foisting outsider status on someone else, attempting to prevent a gay student from attending the school dance in Ryan Murphy's Netflix musical, The Prom. "I would come to work on Little Fires and glue on my nose ring, and then I'd watch Reese Witherspoon and her fancy Brooks brothers. I was like, Reese, I'm going to get to play you in the next project," Washington says with a laugh. "I had to figure out, what's the Kerry Washington spin on that approach? And then layer it with some singing." Yes, that's correct. She sings. The producer-director. Through her company, Simpson Street, Washington produced Little Fires in the ACLU documentary The Fight and won her first Emmy for producing the star-studded variety special live in front of a studio audience, All in the Family and Good Times. "I was in the first one as an actor, and I just was really hands-on," Washington says, of her involvement with the Norman Lear projects. Elsewhere, Washington directed her third episode of television, this one for HBO's Insecure. The Activist. Just saying the word democracy makes Washington sit up a little straighter. Her passion is obvious and so infectious you can feel it through the computer screen. This year alone, she moderated a night of the Democratic National Convention, co-hosted the CBS special Every Vote Counts, and hit the campaign trail for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I understand that because of what I do for a living, my voice may resonate louder than some others, but my commitment to go out there in the field is to remind people that my voice should matter more than anybody else's because we live in a democracy. The storyteller. The connective tissue for Washington's endeavors is story. It's hearing about people's lives on the campaign trail. It's stepping into the shoes of someone else as an actor. It's bringing narratives to life as a producer or director. I really believe that we are each the hero of our own story, says Washington, and all of our stories deserve to be at the center. Each person deserves to understand their power to influence the narrative of their life. Each person also deserves a nap every now and then. The next entertainer of the year 2020 is Maya Rudolph. Big Mouth, The Good Place, Bless the Hearts, Kamala Harris. Two Emmy wins. This comedy icon owned 2020. Article by Sarah Cooper. SNL is where I fell in love with Maya. She has an amazing command of using the sounds of her words to make anything funny. Her Aunt Jemima impression on the post-election episode, just listen to her say mouth-watering. It makes me laugh every time I think about it. It's also been, and will probably always be, a fantasy of mine to be as talented as she is. I'll probably die with that feeling of, I wish I could be Maya Rudolph. She really has done everything. I would love to follow my heart the way that she follows hers. Talking to her just feels like a warm hug. When we got the green light to make Everything's Fine, she said, I love when good things happen to good people. I was so taken aback by that because I didn't really know her that well, and I was like, how do you know I'm a good person? I was able to finally meet her in person when we went to the LA to shoot the special, and even from 6 feet away, she was so lovely to talk to. Every time she speaks, it's like something's coming from this deep guru-like place. Everybody gets quiet when she talks because we just want to savor every word. As told to Tyler Aquilina. The Weeknd. Grammy winner Abel Tesfaye, 30, hit 2020 hard with his number one album, After Hours, and managed to make pandemic performances captivating by Christine and the Queens. The Weeknd has a very interesting narrative arc. He started with an insular vocabulary. I remember him emerging as this very mysterious, almost faceless singer. And then he became a mainstream pop artist. But he managed to keep the character he has, that tormented guy. After Hours might be one of my favorites from him because he feels really confident in this landscape. It sounds massive. It's probably very European of me to say this, but he has this American sound that goes well with cars. Scared to Leave is just the perfect pop song. Snowchild sounds like early Weeknd. I adore Blinding Lights. I decided to cover it because I could hear the very bare version of that song. Like, it can be very fragile. I think he has a knack for writing good melodies and very good stories. Very melodic, but quite daring. I'm obsessed with what a good pop song is, and I don't know if anybody will ever fully understand it, but I like to dissect his work to just find where the magic operates. As told to Alex Suskin. Dan and Eugene, written by Shanna Naomi called Chenal, and this is about the Schitt's Creek co-creators. It was a frightening prospect to raise our kids in Hollywood, Eugene LeVay, 74, recalls of the decision to move back to Toronto from Los Angeles in 1992. And yet, after a career heading up Christopher Guest ensemble films, LeVay is now likely to be most fondly remembered for Family Affair, the show he launched in 2015 with his son, Dan, 37. Schitt's Creek. Daughter Sarah, 34, also starred. I thought this will either be the greatest thing on earth or it will end in family court, says Deborah Devine, Dan and Sarah's mom and Eugene's wife of 43 years. Fortunately, it turned out to be the former. So great, in fact, that the Canadian-born series swept the comedy categories at the 2020 Emmys. At the end of the monumental year, the father and son get sappy, with trademark sarcastic asides about work and family life. Question. Who was more excited on Emmy night? Dan. I did a lot of jumping up and down. I was more excited for other people. Eugene. Well, when you said, I hope I win at the beginning of the night. Dan, I never once said that. In fact, I believe what I said to you is, I will not win. I hope you will. Eugene, oh, well, maybe that was it. How did Schitt's Creek start? Eugene, my son came to me with an idea for a show and said, do you want to work on it with me? I said, yeah. It wouldn't matter what the idea was. Dan, I would go over to my parents' house every Sunday and we'd sit down for a few hours and hash out what this idea was. And slowly but surely, things started to unfold. Question, when did you realize you could do this together? Eugene, I always felt like I would have to mentor a little in a writing capacity and even possibly performing. Once I realized I did not have to do that, I could step back and we could go through this as equal partners. Dan, except for you being at the monitors, watching Sarah and I mouthing the words along like a stage parent. Eugene, I was not aware anybody was looking at me. Dan, everyone was looking at you. Question, how old were Dan and Sarah when you knew they had theatrical inclinations? Eugene, we would summer quite often with Marty Short and his family, and the kids would put on these shows at the cottage almost nightly. Dan loved the process, the idea of making it up and actually acting it out. He wasn't doing it for the attention. Dan, I do remember really enjoy putting together the run of the show. Figuring out how it would look, what color curtain would we use, and how we would hang it. That was almost, to me, more exciting than actually doing it. Eugene. He was able to elicit hard laughs from the family. That was an awakening for me. There's a funny mind in there. Question. Will you work together again? Eugene. That may happen down the line, but this lad here is spreading his wings and flexing. He's got 1,000 ideas. Dan, I don't think you ever want to set yourself up to be compared to what you've done. You need to let dust settle before you even begin to touch the chemistry that people know and love. Question. How is your relationship different now? Eugene, considerably worse. Dan, this is the last time we'll be appearing together ever, so... Eugene, and we don't spend a lot of time together anymore for some reason. Dan, you might call it estranged. Laughs. Eugene, the idea of working with both my kids for me was totally surreal. Dan, when you go through such a life-changing experience with your family, it cements a layer of memory. For my dad and my sister and I to have these performances immortalized is a fun little gift. Megan Thee Stallion. With 2 number one hits and a fiery debut album, Meg 25 turned 2020 into the endless hot girl summer by Sierra. There's a reason the Beauty Marks singer dressed as Meg for this year's Halloween. Here, she professes her love for the Houston rapper. And the first time I heard Megan's music, I knew she was an absolute force as an artist and performer. In a short period of time, she has permeated pop culture, which is a testament to her authenticity as an artist. And she did all of that while still attending college. She is unapologetically herself and exudes a level of confidence young girls should aspire to. She took what it means to be a hot girl and gave it power and purpose. And I love the visuals for the WAP music video and its representation of boss women, including Normani, Kylie Jenner, Mulatto, Rosalia, Sukarna, and Ruby Rose. It is female empowerment on every level. In a male-dominated industry that is still adjusting to the idea of strong females owning their own narratives and shaping their own careers, Megan is masterfully navigating through it with positivity and grace. She does not shy away from calling out the injustices and fighting for what's rightfully hers. She is an important voice for not only women, but especially black women. I think we will be feeling her impact on the music industry for a long time. Another Entertainer of the Year for 2020 is Elizabeth Moss. The 38-year-old Handmaid's Tale star broke out on the big screen in 2020 with a high-profile turn in The Invisible Man, article by Aldous Hodge. To say that the rise of her career had been meteoric would be an understatement. Her career's growth mirrors the evolution of the characters she brought to life, almost intentionally, as though Peggy Olson of Mad Men cautiously navigated the daily antiquated braggadocio of the 1960s, only to evolve into this unconventional hero, kicking ass and taking names in the darkly dystopian future given to us on The Handmaid's Tale. Chill, relaxed, and down to earth. Those were the first things that came to mind the moment I met her on The Invisible Man set. When I think back to her approach to the film, her character and the story, it all makes sense. Watching her work with director Leigh Whannell was a masterclass in developing suspense, understanding tone, timing, and depth. She was so engaged in the details and the subtleties of who her character was because she understands the genre so well, and it paid off. She's an impressive tour de force, and I'm glad I got to see her in action. I'll also be forever grateful to her for turning me on to Sushi Park. Liz, you were right. It was completely worth it. Next article is about Pedro Pascal. He may star in the high-flying blockbuster space western, The Mandalorian, but Pedro Pascal is a defining success by his earthly bonds. Article written by Chancellor Igard. Human connection. It's vital. Especially in a year like 2020. Especially for Pedro Pascal. So it's ironic that the 45-year-old's highest profile success to date is working with an adorable animatronic puppet inside a chrome helmet he famously can't take off. It's why I wanted to do this show. Selfishly, I knew the child, a.k.a. Baby Yoda, was likely to make people fall in love with it, says Pascal, of tackling the title role on The Mandalorian, the Emmy-nominated hit Star Wars series, which returned for its second season on Disney last October. The Chilean-American actor has an eye for choosing projects where he'll stand out, from popular network procedurals, including The Good Wife and Law & Order, to his breakout role as the charming and horny Oberyn Martell on Game of Thrones, and soon after, Netflix Narcos. But it's the stoic bounty hunter safeguarding a frog egg-eating 50-year-old toddler that made him a household name. This fall's season of The Mandalorian followed Pascal's galaxy-traveling warrior as he searched for the child's home, generating countless memes in the process. And yet, working with comedian Amy Sedaris, who plays gruff tattoo mechanic Pauline Matto, was one of his highlights. I followed Amy Sedaris around like a puppy, Pascal says. I love the child. It really is adorable. But somebody who makes you spit laugh right into your helmet will always be my favorite thing. Pascal longed for those kinds of interactions during quarantine, which proved difficult for the actor who lives alone in Los Angeles. But he lights up, is even giddy at times, when the conversation turns to bonding with the community cast for character table read back in May. He filled in for Walter Goggins, or FaceTiming his friend to celebrate Joe Biden and Kamala Harris' election victory on November 7th. Ah, Pascal exclaims, reenacting the joyous calls with buddies that Saturday morning. It was screaming and jumping and dancing and crying. I very arrogantly took screenshots and shared them like, hey, I am a part of this. His appreciation for those around him has only grown during the pandemic. Before flying to Budapest in September to film The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with Nicolas Cage, Pascal leaned on his bubble for support. Communities, Gillian Jacobs, for example, hosted him for a socially distanced outdoor pizza night every Saturday in the early weeks of lockdown. I've got old and new friends that did nothing short of parent me through the experience, Pascal says with gratitude. Those tight bonds helped him redefine success. I want to make sure that my relationships are right and I'm nurturing meaning in a sustaining way, and that won't necessarily be related to getting good jobs and making a lot of money, he says. Still, his 2020 projects tickled the good jobs and money boxes, for which he's thrilled. And how could he not be, starring in two of the year's most feverishly anticipated properties? Besides The Mandalorian, Pascal appears in Wonder Woman 1984 as the villainous Maxwell Lord. The film endured a Homeric journey to its release, read several pandemic-related delays, before arriving in December, and Pascal is stoked for audience to see his turn as the greedy dream seller, a role that he says pushed him out of his Game of Thrones comfort zone. With Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot and Christian Wiig are doing the action, baby, and I'm doing the schmackin', he says, hilariously elongating that final syllable. I am hamming it up. Indeed, Pascal reveals Cage inspired his performance in one particular scene. He'll also be seen in Robert Rodriguez' We Can Be Heroes, arriving in 2021. Pascal hopes next year will feature less uncertainty and chaos than this one. If fear can take a bit of a back seat and not be the main character of everybody's life, that would be great. Another Entertainer of the Year for 2020 is Jamie Foxx. The Oscar winner 53 powered two big and wildly different films in 2020 and lent his voice to the national Black Lives Matter protests by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, as told to Derek Lawrence. I got to know Jamie on Project Power, and man, he's one of my favorite people I've ever had the pleasure to spend time with. I've been a fan ever since In Living Color. He's made me laugh and cry. When the opportunity to be in this movie came to me, working with him was the number one appeal. He is one of the most engaging and talented conversationalists I've ever met because he's seen such a wide variety of the world, and he's so empathetic towards everybody. You can feel that in his art. It feels like, wow, that's a long time coming to have a black actor be the star of a Pixar movie, Soul. But you really couldn't ask for somebody better than Jamie. The work he's been doing, both in the context of entertainment and of participating in the cultural conversation and the reckoning that our country is going through right now, this is an artist using his talent to move the world forward in a positive direction. It's where the difference lies between an actor and an artist who becomes a legend. and I think he's really deserving of that mantle. It just makes me all that more honored to get to be his collaborator and his friend. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Elizabeth Smith reading the January 2021 issue of Entertainment Weekly. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 48 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 50s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading articles from today's USA Today, Friday, January 15th, 2021. Starting with the money section, under the money line column, there are three short items. First, Trump permanently banned from Snapchat. A week after indefinitely suspending President Trump's Snapchat account, the social network has confirmed it has permanently banned him. The move is the latest by one of the nation's leading social media platforms to remove nearly all of the president's online megaphones, which allowed him to directly reach Americans. Second item, jobless claims surged to 965,000 last week. The number of people seeking unemployment aid soared last week.